4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What a day it's been. We've had a chance to talk to three of our rookies in this rookie class today. Three guys we hadn't had a chance to talk to. Bowman, kid out of Oklahoma. We talked to Xavier Watts out of Notre Dame. Georgia fans, you got to hear what Xavier Watts said about going to that game and the physicality of it. It's on the way in the 5 o'clock hour. And then, Mike, the big lineman out of Wisconsin, Jake Nelson.
Who sounded just like you'd expect, a big molly-whopping tackle who came from the biggest party school in the Big Ten to sound like. And it's funny because all you do, like most guys who were listening during the interview, they said they got on the Wikipedia, look on the Wikipedia page, just Google the name /NFL, and you'll see something. And in the case of our new offensive tackle, I mean, his dad looks like he could play right now. Almost looks like a dude that could, you know, be an extra in a movie with Schwarzenegger. So that's kind of fun, but it's really great to hear Xavier Watts. You'll want to hear that, guys, at 5 o'clock because you'll hear his take on that Sugar Bowl. He was the defensive MVP against Georgia in that game.
Yeah, he's a baller, man. And look, I think we got, as I said, the day after the draft or the weekend after the draft, our speed went up on defense and our playmaking. Those are two areas we just got better at. You can never have enough speed. And certainly when you talk about ball hawks, you can't have enough of those guys either. So those interviews are on the way, guys. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 4 o'clock hour brought to you by our friends at Mark Spain Real Estate. On the way a little bit later on, some guy talk, and we continue to address what happened last night. These NBA playoffs are crazy. They just are. And Mike and I spent a lot of time talking about the Celtics simply because this story, if they lose, this is a huge – you go from the championship, Mike – to being up 20 in two games against the Knicks team that you have obviously shown you're better than, right, but yet you're down 0-2 in this series.
And then, you know, everybody was skeptical about, you know, Coach Thibodeau. Everything figured Tibbs will run these Knicks into the ground and these guys will be dying. But it's amazing. I mean, because you think, and we've heard this from like Trey, we've heard a bit from other Hawks players, are you going to make a comeback? The energy that you've got to exert to do that.
Yes.
You know, that's like it's a whole different animal. And then you got to finish them off. So this is one where the Celtics, I mean, yes, you got to go soul searching. And as we said earlier, what are you going to do? Reinvent your half court game now? You're going to go down to Madison Square Garden. Now you're going to be, I was a line from Teddy KGB. Now you're the Celtics, big and tough. You won't be pushed around. Good luck with that.
Yeah, we'll dive back in, man. Tonight we get a chance to see what the Golden State Warriors are going to do without Clay, or should I say Steph, not Clay, but he's not going to play in this game, and I don't think he plays in the next two.
Because the Thunder didn't monkey around. I said to Carl, both the Celtics and the Thunder were 10.5-point favorites. Vegas figures all that. Okay, they mailed it in, whatever, they'll figure it out. And Oklahoma City just dropped a hammer. I mean, like, nice story, Luka. I mean, they were just all over it. And, you know, Westbrook was like making cry faces and stuff. It was a beatdown.
Braves lose to the Reds last night. We'll talk to Grant about that. Grant Holmes, look, it felt like it was a lot more than just the four runs because of the way the game went last night. But we'll dive into it and the curious decision that Snit made to pinch hit Eddie Rosario. That's all on the way. Right now, though, let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
All right, before we get to Nick Saban is expected to serve as the co-chair for the Trump administration's Commission on College Football. Look, when you start putting commissions together, Mike, it's always interesting because, you know, you say, what does that mean? And do they really get anything done? Or is this just a bunch of guys complaining about what's wrong and then nothing ever gets done? I don't know.
Well, generally, when you have a congressional committee, that's the latter, not the former. Basically, it's just a bunch of guys grandstanding and nothing ever gets accomplished. But in some cases, you know, you can have the college football czar just give Nick Saban the keys to
that. Give the keys, yeah.
And give him whatever power he needs to go do his thing. But as we said, I mean, the moment you try to curb some of the NIL and some of the earnings, someone's going to go to a federal or a circuit court judge and have a lawsuit. And then you get slapped with an injunction, and that now that gets stopped in its tracks, the way things have run the last like 18 months.
So there's also a Texas businessman. His name's Cody Campbell. He is also going to serve as the co-chair along Saban, with Saban, should I say, and they're going to examine prominent issues facing college football. Okay, transfer portal, unregulated booster compensation.
And here's the thing. Is that what the NCAA is going to be narking everybody on now?
I don't know.
I hate the fact that some of these things give a chance for the NCAA, which was this close to being irrelevant, a chance to be empowered again.
To come back. Yes, right? To come back. Well, I've always told you, these guys, and I'm saying these guys, these schools are not going to police themselves. I've always told you that. I mean, there's no
Wait a minute. Michigan benched their coach for three. Yeah. There's two. Now, granted, they cherry-picked the games he's going to sit out, but they self-discipline.
Well, that's how you do it. What games do you want to miss, coach? What's the schedule?
Well, I tell you what. How about you don't go to New Mexico, but you play the game against Oklahoma?
But they're also going to look at the employment of college athletes, Title IX. These are some among the hot button topics.
Title IX was the big, you know, big roadblock for everything, and it's like it doesn't exist. It's like irrelevant, you know, since we've gone to NIL.
Well,
it's basically become a free market society. Those things which draw fan interest, draw more money, basically get more money, and that's the way the cookie crumbles.
But this is why you can't get anything congressionally passed, because Title IX is still looming. That's why you need the congressional part of this. But this is interesting, and look, I'm not going to say it's not going to help. You got great minds talking about this. Okay, terrific. But it gets back to, and remember, Senator Tommy Tuberville, Mike, is up there also lobbying for all of this. You know, despite what kind of coach you thought he was at Ole Miss or Auburn or Tech, he's up there in Congress, and he's also talking about that college football is the heart and soul of America. But it is in danger. Danger, Will Robinson. That's what he's right. saying. So, okay, we're going to see if Nick Saban, 7-time national champion, who retired from college football in January of 2024, can get these real conversations started and maybe get something moving.
Well, I mean, as we said, you know, everybody's been using the phrase guardrails, and, you know, how do you start the conversation? Because you said the jurisdictions and how things vary from state to state, the different rules that have been passed, and everybody in the Southeast kind of all got on the same page immediately. Okay. Make sure, you know, we're not going to get out, spend no cap on this state. And that's fine. But to me, I thought they were going with this federal judge, which seems to be like working at a snail's pace, right on her decision, was about $20 million. Right, Day-Day, it was $20 million per school across the board.
It is. 20 and a half.
And then so you have a salary cap. And then, unfortunately, the NCAA will then look to see if anybody's skirting the salary cap, as you said, through unauthorized, you know, contributions from boosters or whoever. And that sounded, I mean, other than the NCAA being empowered, it sounds like a pretty simple plan, right?
It does. And while we're talking about that, you're talking about the $2.8 billion House versus the NCAA settlement. This is what's hanging in the balance. So the attorneys have filed a brief. Basically, the judge came back and said, I have an issue, as many college coaches have, with the proposed roster limits. Because what happens is, guys, as soon as this goes into effect, you're going to have to cut people off your roster.
Right. And no more 150 guys like Bear Bryant had or the gray shirt thing that Saban was doing, things like that.
So she says, that's not right. You've given these kids a scholarship. What needs to happen is they need to be grandfathered in.
Oh.
And that is why she has an issue with the way this is going down.
Equal protection.
Of course. Because it is. I kind of agree with this. You're just cutting it to a number and saying, hey, we promised you this, but it's not going to happen. Either way, and then it gets to the $20.5 million salary cap. That's not the issue. It's how they get to these roster limits, which is a sounds like an insignificant thing, but it's a big thing when you talk to coaches around college football. Either way, the decision has not been made. And, Mike, she threatened and she was not going to pass this thing unless they made some adjustments to it. So,
I mean,
that's what's been going on.
You could argue, I mean, if you want to, I don't know, if you feel that there's equal protection in the law. I mean, how do you – So what's the problem? 150 guys? I mean, 125? Where are you going to draw the line? If anything, yes, less guys on scholarship. It's going to have to start at one point. So the existing players get grandfathered, and then it moves forward? I'm just doing the math on this in my noggin.
Well, like, for example, high school seniors who were promised scholarships that were later rescinded because of the proposal of roster limits would be exempt.
Okay.
That's what she wants.
All right. Okay, I can see that. Now I got it.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah. And look, I know it sounds like a lot of mumbo-jumbo, but the reality is this is going to change – the way Georgia operates and everybody else around the SEC.
Well, I mean, but here's the thing. Right now, it's still the Wild West. We talked yesterday, we just said Texas has spent $40 million.
Allegedly.
You know, I mean, I said 140. You said 40. I think it's more like 140. But Texas is going to go all in. So here's the deal. Any extra pressure on Sarkisian and Arch Manning? By the way, Arch Manning is going to stay for 2 years, right?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think so.
I mean, unless he just, imagine if Arch Manning just balls out and says, see ya, drops the mic.
Yeah, look.
I don't envision that, but it just seems like Texas has got to break through on this one at this stage.
There's no rush. I want to remind people who his uncles are.
Right. It's not like he's got to.
Well, it's not that. Did Peyton stay?
Yeah, Peyton saw it through.
Did Eli?
Yep.
There's no rush. He understands the foundation of, you know what, I'm going to Joe this time. As soon as I get to the NFL, we know what that's about. He's just chilling, and everybody wants to rush him to the NFL or have him transfer out. he's fine. And I don't even know, Mike, what that number is. I heard what it was when they got him. I don't know what the number is now. I'm talking about NIL. So a lot of people said he was making more than Quinn Ewers, and he wasn't even playing.
Right. So, well, I mean, but the point I'm getting to is Sarkisian's got to bust through like the Kool-Aid man. I mean, you've been knocking on the door. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, regardless of it, just they've got it. They have been on everybody's top short list now. They've got everything, and I would imagine, Carl. I don't follow Texas like you do, but the depth has got to be there.
It is.
Everybody they just put in the NFL, they've replaced, but still, you got to work a lot of new faces in a year with high expectations.
Well, it's like Ryan Day, Mike. When Ohio State went all in, there was extra pressure for him to get it done. Right. He convinced all his guys to come back, and then they spent more money than anybody last year in NIL, and they won it. Great.
Still couldn't beat Michigan.
Sark's still in that. He's going to potentially be, if they do the similar thing, he's going to be in the same situation.
Well, and look, and I'm just not cherry picking on Texas. This is why, you know, when everyone, we did that coaches list that USA Today came up with, Kirby is number one on the list. But now, I mean, we just graduated, if you're Georgia, a bunch of guys off your offensive line, two of your best players on defense.
16 guys in the NFL.
And now you've got to, you know, retool with a schedule that's easy, like slightly easier. At least the tough teams are coming to your house this year. But still, it's... it's just not like you. I just don't think for Georgia fans, if your expectation is, it's still never going to be the 21-22 like it was, where you had the extra depth, where you had five-star replacing five-star, was my point, that had game experience, that was able to come in and be that guy. It just doesn't seem like, and of course, you're the X factor of a great quarterback, and you still don't know what Gunnar Stockton is. In the preseason rankings, Gunnar Stockton even like one of the top five quarterbacks.
Are you saying Georgia won't contend this year?
I just don't know what they're going to do. I mean, because the two ways of looking at it. Last year, you didn't get to the Natty, but you also got a game away from the Natty with a team that wasn't even one of your best teams in the last 4 years.
Right.
So it does show that Kirby has got that secret sauce. I harp on the offensive line. I harp on Bobo's play calling. But even on a down year, kind of like with Nick Saban, a bad year for Nick Saban was semifinal, right?
Yeah. Look, it's just hard for me to believe that with the way things are at Georgia, even across the board, where we think they're not as good as some teams, they're better than most. And that's why I still think – I can remember now. You don't have to be one of the top four teams. Georgia could lose three games and still be in the playoff next year. That's what's changed. I'm not going
to
tell you.
They were trying to find an excuse for Alabama in the 11th hour last year.
Absolutely. Right. But I'm not going to tell you losing is acceptable. All I'm saying is it gives you a little bit more leeway and some grace to say, hey, you know what? They're still one of the best teams. And I don't think we're going to go away from that. I don't think the college football committee is going to go away from that.
Hey, we're just talking about, and Data had it in Yeah Man, No Man, talking about this, you know, the president appointing Nick Saban to run this commission. Auburn's athletic director, John Cohen, spoke today about it. The quote, Carl, says, if you can't make decisions without ultimately appearing in court, you can't lead. Like that. He goes, and we desperately need that type of leadership. And that's why I think eventually this has to happen. So we'll see if it does.
Well, everything is a legal lawsuit or a settlement nowadays. To his point, you can't get the college coaches together around the country in the two most powerful conferences and say, this is what we need to do and let's do it without having some kind of legality to it or some kind of, you know, 7 to 8 or 2 months or 2 years of legal court cases, Mike. That he's right. But that's where they are. You know why? Because nobody agrees on what it should look like.
Right. And there's always, you know, there's some folks still hanging on to the academic argument, although it seems quaint at this stage. By the way, it was a pretty cool. We were talking about Travis Hunter going down. I saw yesterday he graduated from Colorado.
Yeah.
He was a two-time. I had it on my Twitter post just while we were joking around about Florida State actually having a good grades while their football team was terrible. Yeah, Travis Hunter, Carl, he was a two-time All-American academic, All-Academic team,
great. But I think we've mentioned this. For the first time ever, Colorado's football team had a 3.0.
Yeah, but
the team. Right. Is concerned.
How come nobody mentions that when they're taking shots at Deion?
Well, Mike, they put out a great social media post. They had their dean of academics there. They're talking about it's never been achieved. And to your point, like, that's the stuff that goes unspoken, right?
Right. Hey, by the way, I was trying to find it last segment. Day-Day was talking about, like, you know, strength of schedule and eventually the SEC going to 9 games. I couldn't punch it up in my computer in time. It's amazing that Billy Napier kept his job. Remember, he was like dead man walking.
He was.
Basically 2 weeks into the season. For them to basically get to a bowl game, it's just mind-blowing. But, yeah, to play the toughest of the tough. I mean, this schedule, I'm going back and looking at it. There wasn't a day off, save basically for Vanderbilt. I mean, everybody. South Carolina was great last year. You know what I mean? They could have beat Alabama. But it just you go back and you look at that schedule. It's like, geez, what a meat grinder that they went up against, having to play, you know, the Georgia Bulldogs and having to play LSU and everybody else that you're used to seeing in an SEC schedule. Nobody in the Big Ten has any 4-week patch like the Florida Gators or Georgia had.
And by the way, I like Napier's quarterback. I think they're going to be all right now.